Thank you, Kevin. Apologies. Okay. Lovely. Memory like a sieve. We're in a transition bit of the book. We've largely been trying. Paul has been talking about. He's been teaching us until this point. He's been talking about all that God has done for us, what God's plans and intentions are for us. We've talked a lot about the new community, the church. We've talked about how we are what we are because right back in before creation, God made a decision, God made a choice, and he chose us, and he then called us, he saved us, and he's given us his Holy Spirit. It says that he's sealed us to make sure that we're not lost, to make sure that once we're saved, we're always saved, we can't lose our salvation. All these things about God, all that he's done, I hope it's warmed our hearts as we've gone through, as well as just informed our minds. We now get to this point where the transition is, okay, knowing all of these things, knowing what God has done, then how are we going to live? What difference is it going to make to us? The fact that God has called us, the fact that God has called you, let's make this personal, the fact that God has saved you, the fact that God has adopted you into his family, that was another thing, wasn't it? That God has adopted you, he's made you his child, he has become your father, he's put you together in this new community, the church, of which we're just a little part. That makes our church precious. It makes the church precious and important and valuable. All right, that's what God has done. So now, how does he want us to live? What is the change? What are the practical outworkings of that? Some of them we've already started to see and we've touched through. But now, having done the teaching, Paul talks about what you've got to do. And it's always a good thing for us to understand that our lives are guided not simply by what we think, not simply by our circumstances, but it's guided by the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God. A lot of people just want to go straight to the how to do it. You know, we need to know the why, first of all. We need to know why. So I don't apologize for trying to teach us as people, as a group, what God says and teach us about God, because if we don't know why, we're just going to do anything, aren't we? Whatever feels right. We need to know why. It's always a good question. Ask why. And once you know why, then ask what. If I know why what God has done, now what have I got to do? So the what question, the living, always comes out of the knowing. So it's head and heart. We've got to know things and we've got to live things out. So that's what he's doing here. So he comes to it. Let's get into the passage. That's the introduction. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy. Ring a bell, that phrase? If you've been here, you may remember it was the way he started chapter 3. If you've got your Bibles open, look at chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles. And then there's like dot, 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 dot. Exit in my Bible, it's a dash. I don't know what you've got in yours. He starts off and then he pauses. And he goes into another subject. He talks about the mystery that we looked at. We won't go over that because we haven't got time again. But he comes back to what he was going to say. Here, for this reason, in chapter 3, I, Paul, the prisoner, chapter 4, as a prisoner for the Lord then, and he takes up the theme that he was going to go on to. What does he say? I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Why do we live as we are? Because we're called people. Because of what God has done for us. There's a calling. We are not what we are simply because we chose something. Yes, there was a degree in which you chose to follow Jesus. There is a degree in which you obeyed the call of Jesus. There was a personal choice that you made. But why did you make that choice? It goes back to what we saw before. Because God had chosen you. Because he set his love upon you at the foundation, or before the foundation of the world. We are a called people. A people called by God. Into his family. To live with him for all eternity. And to witness and to live for him in this life. What a privilege that is. I wonder if that resonates with you this morning. If it doesn't resonate with you that it's a privilege to be a Christian, then I just want to ask you to pray and ask God to work in your heart that you will feel it's a privilege. Because there is nothing greater than this. God has called you. God Almighty. Of all the people of the world, he laid his love on you. And he died to save you. And he's filled you with his Spirit. And he's asked you to work with him in eternity and kingdom purposes. This is not simply a duty we have. This is a privilege. He could have left us. He could have ignored us. But he had mercy. And he saved you, forgave you for all the sins, all the things that you've done wrong, all your offenses that would, left to yourself, it would have ended you up in hell. The place of eternal, unbearable misery and pain with no escape. That is where, by nature, left to ourselves, that is what would have happened to us. We must not forget that. But God, who is rich in mercy, set his love upon us. And God called us. God called you. You're a called person. That calling brings with it, it has a sense of vocation. God called us for a full-time purpose in life. People were being called to a purpose. Not a part-time thing. It's not a Sunday-only thing, but a whole life thing. That we live the whole of our time. We're in the service of a king, called to help him, called to work with him. So he said, having been called, he said, I want you to live a life worthy. And that's the subject, that's the title for this thing this morning. To live a life worthy. What does it mean to live a life worthy? Well, is it not about live appropriately then? Live a life appropriate to what you are. Live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. We're part of God's new community. We've been forgiven. We're his children. You are God's child. That must impact the way you live. I am God's child. I am not my own. I was bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. That must affect the way I live. In every aspect. What I think, what I say, what I do, the way I spend my money, my priorities. It's a good thing to stop and ask ourselves, is what I'm doing, is what I'm saying, is what I'm watching appropriate for a child of God in whom the Holy Spirit lives? Is what I'm saying, is what I'm doing helpful and appropriate for a member of the new community? Is this going to do the church any good? Is this going to build unity? Or is this going to destruct? Is this going to harm it? Is this going to build someone up? Or is it going to have the tendency of hurting? It's really practical, isn't it? Live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. We're part of the new community. It's important that we live that way. Our culture is not the thing which is to shape us and what we do. We've said this over and over again, haven't we? We're called to be different. We're called to step out from our society, to be different. We're the new community, to reflect that. If we carry on being just the same, then what's the point? All right, so let's have a look at some things that Paul says here. The Lord speaks to us through Paul. Unity. We're still thinking about this unity. We've talked about it a lot. He continues on in that theme. So what does it mean to live together in unity? What is it about unity? Right, live a life worthy. Our unity depends on our being considerate of each other. That's the first thing he says. Look at verse 2. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. You don't get any more practical than that, do you? Because we are the new community, because we're called to be different, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Be humble. Humble. It's about the way we think about ourselves. It's about not, you know, putting ourselves up. It's having a right attitude about ourselves. How can we get that? It's remembering what we were. Remembering what we were before God saved us. We were by nature objects of God's wrath. But because of his great love for us, none of us have reason to be proud. None of us have any reason to think more highly of ourselves, do we? We're all sinners. We've said this a couple of weeks ago. You know, we're all sinners. We all start on the same place. We're all exiled from God. We're part of this family. We're part of the new community because of what God has done. He says, be humble and be grateful to God. That will help you to keep humble. And very closely related to it, he says, be humble and gentle. Gentle, it's about the way we treat other people. Humble is about the way we think about ourselves. Gentleness is about the way we think about other people and we treat other people. They speak about not being opinionated together, these two things, being humble and gentle, about not being too forceful, not being bossy, not demanding our own way, not getting upset when we don't get our own way. It's being thoughtful of other people, gentle in the way we speak to them and the way we treat them, the way we speak to each other, humbly, gently. Humble, gentleness, patient and bearing with one another. What does it mean? It's about putting up with each other, putting up with each other's annoying ways. It's about forbearing, bearing with one another, bearing with one another. It's about not letting frustration and annoyance overflow. I'm not the only one that gets wound up by people, am I? I'll take that as a no. He says, be patient with people. Bear with one another. You've got to roll with it. Remember what we've said about the new community? It's made up of all different kinds of people, all different backgrounds, all different educational attainments and all of that kind of stuff. It's inevitable that when the different groups of people get together with that background, there's going to be things that annoy us and frustrate us from time to time, aren't there? What are we going to do? Are we going to fracture and, you know, fall out with each other? No, the mark of what God has done and God's will for us is that we roll with it. We just have to let things go sometimes. We have to mind what we say and mind what we look like as well. Andrea says sometimes, she says, I can see when things are going through your mind. Oh, no. Mind what we look like. You know, half of communication is about looks, isn't it? It's about our non-verbal communication, the expression on our face. Bearing with one another, thinking of others, making every effort, he says, to keep the unity of the peace. Making every effort. And he goes on, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. In verse 3, through the bond of peace, he connects that with this. He says, there is one body and one Spirit. Notice that capital S. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. There's one Spirit, one Holy Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called one Lord. Notice capital L, it's talking about Jesus. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. There's this oneness. Okay? It's talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit here. And our unity then is meant to reflect what God Himself is like. And that's our second thing. Unity reflects and flows from what God Himself is like. We haven't time this morning. I'm going to wrap up in a moment or two because we've got communion. To talk about the nature and character of God. The God of the Bible is one God, but reveals Himself to be three persons, three people. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is beyond our understanding. It's beyond what we can get our heads around. But that's how He reveals Himself. But there is a perfect unity. It's three different persons. The Father in heaven. There's Jesus who came down to earth and lived. He took the form of a human. He became a man and lived here. But at all times He remained God. But He veiled, as it were. He kind of used this expression. He veiled His deity. He covered it up. And just now and again it would peek through when he like spoke to the wind and the waves and said, stop. Revealing who He really was, to peek into His supremacy and what we would call His deity, the fact that He was God at the same time. As man and as God, He hung on the cross. And He left, and before he left, he said, look, it's better for you that I go, because when I go, I will send the Holy Spirit to you, and He who's with you will be in you. His Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're working together in perfect unity. The Father was the one that originated the plan of salvation, the Bible says. And it was like Jesus agreed to come and do what was necessary, to do the dying bit as a sacrifice, to take the wrath of God so that we could go free. And then the Holy Spirit comes in, and it's Him that awakens us, that quickens us, that can we use the word, regenerates us, that makes us alive. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He then lives in us to help us live. He's the one that empowers us to live the new life. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One, but three. But always working in total unity. And we are different parts, but we're called to live in unity. And so the way what we are is not just a good idea. We're called to reflect the very nature of the God that saved us. That's how important it is. This isn't a take it or leave it thing. Oh, we could talk about marriage because marriage also reflects, but that's another thing of another day. Told you I've got a lot going on in my mind at the moment about these things. But he says, our job is to do our very, very best to maintain the unity that God has made in us, because we are united. We are part of the family. The family of God, and we're called to reflect the nature of the God, our Father. We're called to reflect the God that we serve. That's why it's important that we take this seriously. Between ourselves and in our relationships with other Christians, in other churches as well. He says, make every effort. We've got to be intentional about this. We've got to put the effort in. It won't just happen. There is an invariable law in nature and the laws of nature and science that says everything, if you leave it to itself, it will decay. It will break. It will, you know, it will waste away. It's called the second law of thermodynamics, apparently. Because I say apparently, because I don't understand these things. I don't know if I'm sounding cleverer than I am. But I, you know, that's there. This is this scientific law that things will get worse. They do break down, however much it might look that they stay the same. They break down if they, you know, and we look at things, and you know this, friendships, if you don't maintain them, relationships, if you don't work at them, if you're not intentional, they will break down. Anything in life, it will break if it's not nurtured. And so, as a church, we have to invest. As Christians with one another, we have to be intentional about making these things work and keeping this unity. That's why we do things together. It's one of the things that comes out from meeting together on Sunday. When we meet together with each other and we worship together and we talk with each other and we pray with each other and for each other, we just share a bit of life with each other. It helps foster this. And of course, we need to take this outside the church family as well. We need to express this thoughtfulness and selflessness at home, not just in church. We need to do it at work. We need to do it with our neighbours. We need to do it in our social networks. Those of us on Facebook, Twitter, and those kind of things. You know, the way that we write, the things that we write, the way we write them, the things that we put on, we need to think, how do they impact other people? Are they going to build them up? You know, be careful about negative posts, critical posts, those kind of things. Be careful what you expose. We need to be real. We've got to be careful about it. It's so easy to hurt other people. The way we live, the way we react, not just in church, but out in the community, will have an impact on what people think about Jesus, won't they? You know, the thing is, the new community is meant to be different. It's meant to be better. It's meant to be a place where people think, I'm glad I came into church. I don't get this elsewhere. Out in the world, it's dog eat dog. I come to church and I feel loved, I feel welcomed, I feel accepted, I feel that I can be myself. I don't feel judged. Isn't it an awful thing when people come to church and feel they're judged? If it isn't judging, let God do it, not each other. You know, where we can just come and be natural and normal, but be changing to become like Jesus. So we need to, you know, we show and we act as light and salt in our community when we take this stuff out from here and we live it in our day-to-day lives. Time has gone. I think that's enough anyway. Very practical, isn't it? Very, very. I'll give you a little subliminal view of what I was going to say. Okay? Those two bits there. We'll deal with these, but diversity and the goal of spiritual maturity. That's where we're going. But that's where we are. As we come to the table in a moment, let's be grateful to the Lord Jesus. Through his death and resurrection, we are what we are. And maybe we, you know, as we talk about these things this morning, we look at what the Bible says to us, we recognize and we realize, actually, I fall short of that, and I've not been what I ought to be. I've been critical. I haven't had a lot of patience, and maybe I've let that out to someone. I've spoken in a way that's a bit sharp or whatever. Maybe here, maybe at home, maybe at work. Yeah, we could just confess that to the Lord and tell him that we're sorry. Ask him to help us to improve on that. You know, to ask him by the Spirit to come and give us self-control, that we'll be the people that he wants us to be. It's a good time for us to do that as we come around the table and think of all that Jesus has done for us. So we'll do that after we've sung a song. The song we're going to sing is In Him I Have Believed. It's a song that speaks about unity. It speaks a lot about the things that we're talking about